From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of November 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Dave Chatterton will join us to discuss the agricultural energies. We'll update crop progress across the Midwest with the state statisticians. And Don Day will be here with the weather forecast for the Midwest on this Tuesday edition of the closing market report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. December corn today, up 2 1/4 at $3.70. The March at 3.80 3/4, 3.5 higher. And the May up 3 3/4 at 3.86 3/4. July futures 3 3/4 higher as well at 3.92 1/2. And next year's December, new crop at $3.96, 2.5 cents higher. The soybeans, January contract up 1 1/4, finished at $9.11 1/2. The March settlement price at $9.24 1/2. Up 1 1/2, and May soybeans for the day at 9.36 3/4, 1 1/3 cents higher. July 9.47 3/4 up 2. The November beans at 9.49 up 3 cents. Bean oil futures 32 cents higher at $30.96. The bean meal at 3.02 even up 80 cents for the day. Soft red winter wheat July contracted 5.21 1/4, 3.5 higher. The hard red July up 4 3/4 on the settlement at $4.45 1/2. Live cattle in Chicago finished the December 7.5 higher at $118.77 1/2, February at $125 1/2, down a nickel, and feeder cattle 22.5 cents higher at $146.60 in the lead option November. January futures there at $144.2 1/2, down 45 cents for 100 pounds. Lean hogs December contract 60 cents lower at $62.15, and February futures at $69.62 1/2, also down 60 cents for the day. The crude oil down $1.84 at $55.21. Ethanol futures unchanged at $1.41 1/2, and gasoline at $1.60, down 2 cents for the day. Heating oil about 4 cents, almost five lower, at $1.85 6/10 cents. Natural gas at $2.50 8/10 cents, down 5 8/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 103 points at 27,906. The U.S. dollar is up 0.07 at 97.735. And gold futures for the day, $3.10 higher at $1,474 even. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the marketplace and discuss what's been happening in Chicago and on the ground around the Midwest. Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So it's a turnaround Tuesday, but not much in the way of gains. I suppose it just bounced a little after yesterday's losses.
Well, you know, we did have a little higher through the day, and we didn't hold all of our gains, not anywhere close in the beans as it was. But, you know, we did see some higher after 2 months lows being hit yesterday in the corn. We did see the beans bounce back a little bit. We're seeing a lot of talk out of the Dakotas about test weight problems and going on like that. But unfortunately, the stock market seems to see some optimism for the Chinese-American deal, but the grain markets just haven't been seeing much optimism there.
Yeah, so that deal was supposed to be struck. Actually struck this month. There was an awful lot of optimism, and there were some meetings late in the week. They thought maybe that we could get things done by the month of December, and nary a peep really out of Washington, D.C. or China about this last set. I suppose they're just at some kind of stalemate.
It sure looks like we don't want to take the tariffs off before they agree to a dollar amount of grains. They want to say as needed. And we need to have some sort of figures to want to take the tariffs off. And we're at a stalemate right here, and it sure doesn't look good for the U.S. ag economy when we look at that. So, our next big problem is getting propane to where it needs to be. I heard of one load of propane they couldn't get pulled out of where they had it contracted, and they had to pay $2 for propane this week for a semi-load. And that's up about a dollar.
Yeah, so those things are difficult across the Midwest. State governors have been opening up so that the truckers can move that propane from one place to the other. It's not a lack of supply exactly in the nation. It's just that it's out of it's not in the right places, so they have to get it moved. So we'll see how that works. What are you hearing about finishing up the crop? Yesterday, of course, we had the crop progress report out, and I think the number was, what, 76%? We'll hear that in just a second here.
76% on the corn, yeah. They were guessing, that's right, I think it was 1% lower than what the average guess was, but very close on that. We're continuing to see slow progress because of the moisture levels and some places the lack of propane and other places the lack of dry places to haul to. You know, the elevators, as somebody finishes, there's one less in line, and I think it's going to move a little faster as we get going. But the weather forecast just isn't we're experiencing a little rain, misty rain here today, and by this afternoon or this evening, why it's supposed to get more, and we'll probably be knocked out of the field for a day or two here. But very slow going because of the high moisture of the corn. When you do try to dry 25% corn or above, it takes about three times as long as it does for 18 to 19% corn. So, you know, very slow moving at elevators and at the home bins.
You know, you mentioned North Dakota up front. They're really still way behind in their corn harvest. I think that corn,
yeah,
as you mentioned, wasn't in very good condition as well. There should just be an awful lot of white, light test weight corn in one area. It might take something to move that out of there, I would think.
Yeah, we're about 500 million bushels of corn still in the field as you look at and figure out what's going on. We saw a tweet this day that said that North Dakota, one area, there's no bids for corn under 54 test weight. And that just about for that area is all of it. The poor elevator there has got enough under test weight corn that he can't blend up to that to load cars out or to get out, so he just has to quit buying it because he doesn't have a market for it. And that makes it really hard. And, you know, as they said, even the crop insurance stuff doesn't look at test weight as a problem or until you get under 50. So, you know, there's a real problem there that those farmers are really got their backs against the wall.
So let's see if we can't search out something that's a little better. Domestic demand crush for soybeans seems to be pretty good, and USDA wasn't predicting that.
No, I mean, our monthly crush was much better than expected. We're continuing to do that. We are still seeing bean oil have a little higher price or better than it's the buying the oil, selling the meal as far as the spread goes. But a lot of that has to do with supposedly taking back up the blender's credit. We've heard that there's a discussion that it might be a dollar for a year, then 75 cents for a year, 50, 25, and then down to zero at the end of the time period. But they are trying to end the blender's credit back in as a couple of the soy blending facilities have closed, and it's been very rough on them to make a go of it.
Yeah, so that blender's credit has been really important for the soy diesel and the oil part of the crush as it is. Usually, those plants understand that even if it expires, that particular credit will be put back in place. But you're telling me that there's a policy now that potentially could change that. That would change things over the long run, over that 4 or 5 year period of it lasting out pretty to be substantially not of value, and I think it would be very hard on the crushing industry.
It will, and like I say, there's still the question whether they'll put any retroactive parts into that. I'm sure there's lobbying really going on to try to get that done, but that was what the newswires said today about what it was, and the retroactive was one of the things that they were hoping to add.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Find us online at willag.org. One other website I'd like you to visit is the Farm Doc Daily website, and there you can register for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are coming up the week of December the 16th. The link is at the top of the page at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You'll find a way to register. The cost is just $80, and for that, you'll get to visit and ask questions and learn and hear from the ag economist you hear on our programming most weeks. We'll be in Mount Vernon on December the 16th. That's a Monday. And then Tuesday in Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. To wrap up the week, you can find us again online at Farm Doc Daily to register at illinois.edu. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 76% of the corn crop around the United States has been harvested. The five-year average is 92%. 91% of the soybeans have been harvested. 95% is the rolling five-year average. And 83% of the wheat has emerged. 86% is the rolling five-year average. It's said to be in 41% good and 11% excellent condition. That compares to the previous week of 43% and 11%. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending November 17, 2019. Snowfall in the first part of the week ending November 17, 2019 slowed down harvesting activities in parts of Iowa by limiting farmers to 4.7 days suitable for field work. Propane shortages continue to be a challenge for farmers across the state as they try to dry down their crop due to high moisture content. Field work activities included harvesting corn and soybeans, baling corn stalks, applying anhydrous and fertilizer, and fall tillage. Topsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 83% adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 2% short, 83% adequate, and 15% surplus. 77% of the corn for grain crop has been harvested, 10 days behind last year and 12 days behind the five-year average. Producers in the Northwest and North Central districts have harvested over 85% of their expected crop, while harvest in the Northeast district was just 58% complete. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was at 20%. 95% of the soybean crop has been harvested, over 1 week behind average. The South Central and Southeast districts have more than 10% of their soybean crop remaining to be harvested. The number of cattle grazing on corn stalks increased this past week. There were also reports that below normal temperatures and mud have been stressful on livestock. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, November 17. Cold weather intensified across Illinois last week. The state average temperature was only 26.6 degrees, and temperatures range from 14 to 15 degrees below normal around the state. Several inches of snow impacted much of Illinois on Monday the 11th. However, precipitation totals for the week were below normal. Precip around the state averaged less than 1/4 inch, and that is nearly 1/2 inch below normal for this time of year. On Sunday the 17th, soil temperatures were consistently in the mid-30s across the entire prairie state. There were only 3.4 days suitable for field work last week, but farmers were able to harvest some corn and soybeans as well as plant winter wheat. Topsoil moisture levels were reported as 3% short, 79% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture was reported as 1% very short, 8% short, 73% adequate, and 18% surplus. Corn is now harvested on 80% of acres. That compares to 99% 1 year ago and 97% for the five-year average. Illinois soybean harvest is now 92% finished, compared to 96% last year and 98% normally. 99% of winter wheat has been planted for harvest next year. That compares to 94% 1 year ago and 96% normally. 85% of wheat acres have emerged, compared to 83% last year and 84% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was reported as 18% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 37% fair, and 45% in good to excellent condition, nearly the same as last week. Pasture conditions were rated 32% very poor to poor, 40% fair, and 28% good to excellent, which is worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending November 17, 2019. Dry and cold conditions allowed for 5.1 days suitable for field work during the week. The crops coming out of the fields are often reported as wetter than usual, and farmers continue to face concerns of LP gas shortages. Topsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 0% short, 66% adequate, and 34% surplus. Subsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 64% adequate, and 35% surplus. Corn harvested for grain reached 77%. That's 13 days behind the average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 21%. That's down 1 percentage point from the previous week. 97% of the soybean crop has been harvested. That's 1 week behind last year and 15 days behind normal. Droughtable beans harvested reached 97% this week. That's 35 days behind the average. And sunflower harvested reached 69% this week, and that's 3 weeks behind normal. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast in the Midwest.
Well, we are going to have a pretty busy pattern as we go here to the end of the week and as we peek into Thanksgiving week. We're seeing the Pacific Ocean wanting to throw out a bit more in the way of storminess. Even some of the very dry areas of the far west, like California and the desert southwest, actually going to get some rain and snow here in the coming days. And as those systems leave the southwest United States, they're going to curve northeast and head across the upper Midwest and affect the northern and western Corn Belt with some cooler, wet weather as we get to the end of this week, and we see another system early Thanksgiving week as well.
So tell me about next week then.
Well, I would expect a fairly busy pattern, meaning that we've got chances of rain and snow. This will be especially true over Iowa, Minnesota, eastern Nebraska, southeastern areas of South Dakota, Wisconsin, and portions of central northern Illinois and all of Missouri. Those areas should expect to see some wet weather coming in two surges, one later this week and into the start of the weekend, and then towards the middle of next week.
How about the last week of November?
Last week of November is going to be coldest and wettest in the central and the west, warming up in the southeast and the far eastern areas of the United States. It is looking like the last week of November, first 2 weeks of December, more often than not, are going to be cold for the nation's midsection and areas to the west coast.
Anything from South America?
The weather in South America is getting a little more wet. Both Brazil and Argentina here in the next week to 10 days are going to see more chances of rain than we've seen lately. So there's some good news in terms of some of the key growing areas of Argentina and Brazil getting some rainfall. Temperatures warmest in Argentina, slightly above average, near average temperatures in Brazil. So a very favorable outlook for the southern hemisphere, at least in South America, still fighting some dryness and warm, drier conditions in Australia.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Dave Chatterton now joins us from Strategic Farm Marketing to take a look at the agricultural energies. Thanks for being with us, Dave. Let's get right into it. I suppose we should start with propane. We've been talking about this for quite some time.
Yeah, Todd. I mean, some of the things that we had talked about, you know, all summer have kind of come to fruition here. What we had was a late and a wet corn crop that combined with what turned out to be a pretty vicious cold snap here over the last, you know, in the last couple of weeks that really started to draw down supplies, and particularly in the Midwest. So our regions here where we've had allocations, where we've had some regional outages, we've seen prices rally from a summer low on the wholesale level of just at 30 cents to almost 55 cents. Those prices have now started to ease up a little bit at the wholesale level, but they have not made it into the retailer, into our areas here in the Midwest. And so it's been a difficult situation. It looks like we're finally maybe getting over the hump here just a little bit. We do have, you know, some grain drying still ahead of us for sure, particularly as you go further north and further west. But it looks like that situation will ease up just a little bit here in the coming weeks.
What else have you been watching?
Well, markets have been very interesting here. We've had a big divergence here between what's happened in the energy and the oil complex and let's say the equity complex. The equity is going to new all-time highs almost repeatedly, you know, day after day or several times a week, and we've had a big backup here in the energy complex. That has to do, I think, with a number of things, but primarily we're focusing on the OPEC meeting, which comes up on December 6th, and of course they are a big policy setting and price setting initiative for the market. The market in true form to the oil market has been putting some price pressure on OPEC, trying to get them to cut production. We have economic forecasts for a little bit of a slowdown for supply, you know, growth overtaking demand growth next year in the oil complex and creating a surplus supply. And so markets have been on the weak side here just a little bit. Seasonally, from a diesel fuel perspective, this is a good time to keep an eye out on your spring values. We know people are still trying to finish up the fall and field work and get everything, you know, buttoned down. But typically, we see a nice opportunity here in the fourth quarter for some diesel fuel pricing out into the spring and summer months. So definitely something to be keeping an eye on here.
Anything else we should discuss for the day?
Well, you know, again, I think you want to be looking at those forward opportunities here as we go forward. Other than that, I think let's keep our eye here on OPEC. I think if the big issue here is that we've got the equity market and the oil market going in opposite directions in a way that says one of these markets is going to be wrong. I guess we're not sure. I don't know that I want to pick a horse in that fight right now, but I think we're going to see some significant lows here for the market between what's going on with the divergence between the OPEC meeting, you know, upcoming here just ahead of us. And so, again, I think it's an opportunity to be paying attention to here.
Does your wisdom from over the years give you any indication of which direction this will take? I'm thinking, for instance, that because the equities have been making new highs, that they might be ready to set back.
I guess that's my favorite viewpoint at this particular time, Todd. I mean, we've just had such a run in this equity market, and you know, interest rates look like they have flattened out here. It doesn't look like we're going to see a lot of you know, cuts coming from the Fed here anytime soon, or going out in at least the first half of 2020. I think this is a good, you know, indication that things could slow down just a little bit. We're seeing a lot of leakage in the Asian and the Chinese and some of the other bigger economies around the world. Maybe not so much in the U.S. here, but eventually that catches up to us. And I think we have to, you know, situation where the dollar strength can't continue to gain forever here. And we're at a point where we should probably look for some softness going forward.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign, Illinois. Finally today, November the 19th, is the date in history in which Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Another website you should visit belongs to the Farm Doc folks, the Ag Economist, from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'll be on the road with them beginning the 16th of December for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We'll be on Mount Vernon on Monday the 16th and Tuesday in Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign on Friday to wrap out the week. And you can join us. Just visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and look for the link at the top of the page to register for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits.